Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms 1. We're going to look at first the character and condition of the righteous and the rewards that are promised the righteous. You know, we are often known by the people that we associate with. And I want to ask you, are you associating with people that are positive or negative thinkers about the Lord? And that's really what's being asked here. A godly person is known by the company that he keeps. Blessed is the man. Now this word blessed is Hebrew ashrei. It's really in the plural form. And so it would properly be translated the blessedness of the man that walketh not in a counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three different categories here have been listed. The counsel of the ungodly. Now this counsel of the ungodly, you're known by the company that you keep. And so if you hang out with the ungodly, you'll be known as ungodly, or they'll help make you ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. And the word there, sinners, is to miss the mark, to fail to achieve your goal of becoming a Christian and living in a godly fashion. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The Hebrew word there is lutz, and it's to make the mouth to yak-yak. Those who scoff at God or mock or deride God, make fun of God. If you're hanging out with people like that, that mock or scoff at God and at Christianity, it's not very popular today to be a Christian. And so I want to encourage you not to hang out with people like that. Psalms chapter 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. If you'll remember, God told Joshua that when he entered the land to be careful and meditate on the law day and night, Joshua 1:8. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now God's going to use a beautiful figure of speech, Psalms 1:3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Ginger and I went on a Mississippi riverboat ride. And those oak trees beside that Mississippi River are huge, absolutely huge. They're enormous. Some of them 10, 15 feet across the trunk of the tree. And you could tell that those roots go down to the water table, to the level of the Mississippi River, and they just sit there and absorb for hundreds of years all of the water that they could possibly need. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. Well, how could it when it's getting all the water it could possibly need? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His soul will prosper. We're not preaching a prosperity gospel that God's going to make you rich if you give enough money in the plate today. That's not what's being talked about here. Your soul will prosper. You will come to know God and be saved. People who are living in sin go from bad to worse in Psalms 1:4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. Whatsoever good is said of the righteous is not true of the ungodly. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They'll fall in the judgment. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. There's that word, that same word that we followed over here from Psalms, this ungodliness. And the word in the Greek here is negative, I worship. What it's saying is that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against people who worship God wrong. Now, why would God be mad at people who worship him wrong? Negative, I worship is what ungodliness here means. Well, he's told us very plainly what to do. You have to be presumptuous. You have to think that you can improve on God's plan to change the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. There's nothing more simple than the gospel of Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is as simple as you can get. And you have to be very presumptuous to change this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, and that is negative eye worship and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is talking about the universal corruptness of mankind. All of us are universally corrupt. The creation here ought to let us know that God is God and He exists. Notice it says, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. The Greek there would indicate they hinder the truth. God has given all of us the truth. We know that there's a God. Look at verse 19 now. For that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. God is everywhere, and everywhere the beauty and order and operation of the creation tells us that there is a universal God. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The immensity of the creation shows His omnipresence. I was seeing a thing the other day on the History Channel, and it was about a frog. And you know, there are frogs. When the end of the last ice age, the water level rose, and so frogs wound up stranded on this island and this island and this island and this island and this island, and they were all alike in the beginning. But over 3,000 or 4,000 years now, they have changed color and adapted to where they are. And the beautifulness of the creation, and the ocean, and the beautifulness of the creation and the ocean, and the birds, all the immensity of birds and wildlife. When the first settlers came to this country, a squirrel could begin in New York City in the treetops and go all the way to Louisiana in the treetops of trees. This country was beautiful, forested, and we as people are like grasshoppers. Everywhere we go, we leave it desolate behind us. And so God has shown us by His works, He has proved His being. If God became a man, we would expect His words to be better than any words were ever spoken. We would expect His words to last and not change. We would expect His words to have a bearing, an influence on people. We would expect people to change because of His words. And that's exactly what we see. Because that when they knew God, see, there was a time that all people knew God, but when they knew God, they glorified Him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The poets of the ancient world, in the vanity of their reasoning, is stupidity and nonsense. You look at Socrates and Plato and Seneca and all the great writers and poets of the ancient world, and they spoke silliness and nonsense and stupidity. Zeus is not sitting naked on a throne throwing lightning bolts at people and coming down here and sleeping with men's wives. That's stupidity. That's the way men are. That's not the way God is. And so they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image making to like unto corruptible man. They invented God like themselves. They said, well, we're like this, so God must be like this too. Go back to Psalms 1 now. The ungodly, that's the word that got me started on all that. In Psalms 1 verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, they'll fall in the judgment, while you and I, if we have faith and trust in Christ, will stand acquitted in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God's going to separate the sheep from the goats someday, and sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous when we as sheep go in. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now notice that both of these, this psalm is like an introduction to all the books of the psalm. Notice the last word of the good people, what happens to them? Prosper. And notice the last word of the bad people, what happens to them? Perish. So it's really the carrot and the stick, whatever you want, man. You know, if you want to be godly, you will prosper. If you want to be ungodly, you will perish and you'll pay the debt. Psalms chapter 2, verse 12. Great messianic psalms, and it ends with this last verse. Kiss, and kiss is a token of friendship, subjection. So if you kiss somebody, you're being in subjection to them. Kiss the Son, kiss Jesus, the Son of God. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, the slightest stroke of the iron bar of discipline of Jesus Christ, and our vessel will shatter like a potter's vessel, the prophet says. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed, all the blessedness, happy, happy, this word means happy. I'm telling you, some people have learned the secret. It's better to be broke than rich and lost. It's better to be as you are than to be rich and lost. But if you'll practice Christianity, you will begin to prosper. Even in this world, you'll be more happy because you won't waste your money on drugs and wild women or wild boys or alcohol or all of the silliness and the foolishness that people waste their money. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from away when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, the blessedness of all of they that flee to him for refuge, that put their faith and hope and trust in him. That's what the blessedness is that I want you to have. The blessedness where your soul prospers and you live forever. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable acapella singing and Fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. I'd like to give you a little report. This morning our radio broadcast is going out to most of the earth, as we normally do, and we'd like to welcome our radio audience to the regular worship service of the Main Street Church of Christ. Our internet, we have been able to get that fixed. As y'all know, we were suffering some hacking that was going on with our internet, and we've been able to get that fixed and taken care of. We're pushing 100,000 hits this month, which is going to put us back over 1 million hits a year. We downloaded, it looks like, about 20,000 sermons last month. I've been so busy with this county stuff, I haven't had a chance to count them. But it looks like by the K-Bytes that we downloaded over 20,000 sermons last month. And we're pushing real close to that this month. So God's blessing us and blessing our ministry. And we're going out from here to all the world. As y'all know, we are dedicated to two things here, to preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. And God has blessed us, and we continue to do that. We're feeding about 2,500 meals a week here. Psalms chapter 32, verse 1. This is written, we believe, after David had his big foul up with Bathsheba and was confronted by the prophet. It's a psalm of instruction. This is the highest instruction for the guilt of sin and the blessedness of pardon and holiness. And so if you have sin in your life, I want to encourage you to understand this psalm, because this principle is taught in the New Testament too. Blessed, oh the blessedness, how happy is he. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now this word transgression here means to pass over a boundary, to go someplace that you're not supposed to go, to pass over a boundary. And so three types of sin are going to be talked about here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, the first thing that I think when I sin is I sure hope nobody saw me do that. You know, I really hope nobody seen me do that. And so the first thing we think about doing is covering it up, hiding it, you know. And so it's different than that in Christianity. What we're to do is to confess our sins to God. Now this is not like talk like the Catholics teach about going into a priest and confessing to somebody. Now that's good. If you want to come confess some sin to me privately, you can do that. And if you confess one to me, I'm going to confess one of mine back to you. Nobody comes down here to the front and confesses a sin to me that I don't confess a sin back to them. Because that's what the Bible teaches. It says, confess your faults one to another. Now, does Catholic priests, do they confess one of their faults back to those people? I don't know. I've never been in one of them confessionals. But people who tell me who've been there say, no, they don't. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye for one another. That's the way that it is in Christianity. We're to confess our sins to a brother, but that doesn't do any good other than confessing it to God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now this verse and both these verses are used in Romans chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul is teaching justification by grace through faith. And it means blessed is the man who is a guilty, dirty dog like me, whom God does not reckon, count, or impute his sin to him anymore. And the reason that God does not reckon, count, or impute my sins to me is because I have come to Jesus Christ in the appointed way. I have believed and trusted in him to save me from sin, from the devil, and from myself. And he no longer counts my sin against me. And the reason for it is not my condition, it's my standing with God. I've got a get out of jail free card. I've got standing with God. I am a Christian. Christ died for my sins, me personally. And I want you to get that kind of faith in you, that you understand that Christ died for you personally. If nobody else was going to be saved other than just you, he would have still died for you. So who killed the Christ? Was it really the Romans? Was it really the Jews? No, I killed him. You killed him. Everybody who he died for were the ones that killed him. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not, reckons or counts not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile, and this is fraud, deceit, two-face. So don't be a two-faced, don't be a fraud, don't deceive God, try to deceive God. God knows all about it. Psalms 32, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You know, when you do the dirty, rotten deed, when you become a Christian, and then you do some dirty, rotten, stinking, no good thing, God's foot's heavy on your neck, I'm telling you. I know it's heavy on your neck because I've been there. And so if you've got God's foot on your neck this morning, if you'll confess your faults, if you'll just march right down here and confess, I am a sinner, have mercy upon me, O God, he'll take his foot off your neck and let you get a breath. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long before I humbled myself. Psalms 32, verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Shelah. Now, this Shelah is a pause. We don't know if it means take a breath, if it's a musical interlude there, or if it's a pause, or I think it's something to do with hallelujah. Psalms 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Shelah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. The New Testament tells us today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. So you don't need to wait. Don't try to get better. Don't try to holy yourself up before you come to God because you're not going to make it. Come to him just like you are, and he'll help get you holy. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come unto him. Psalms 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Oh, how happy is the nation whose God is the self-existent, eternal Lord God Almighty. That's who's happy. The nation whose God is the Lord. It used to be this nation, but now I fear that we're under the boot of Psalms 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. If there's ever been a nation that forgot God, it's got to be this nation right here. So you can prepare yourself. There's definitely going to be punishment. God has not changed his mind about the way he operates and the way that he does things. And he is certainly going to send punishment on this country for our ungodliness and the wickedness that we now profess and encourage and teach in our schools. You know, I'm just shocked. Sometimes I've been all over the world. I thought I'd seen everything that you could possibly see as a sinner. I've been to Fort Worth, Woolworth, and Leavenworth. I've been everywhere. Do you know that they're actually reassigning gender to children in school today? Do you know that they are actually listening to a child who's born a boy say, "No, no, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl." And they're listening to girls who say, "No, no, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy." They're actually teaching in school that it is a matter of choice. We deserve the punishment that we're going to get for the leaders that we have elected. We deserve it. And we need to just accept it and understand that God is trying to get this nation to repent as you see bad things coming. I don't know how good times could come again. You know, I was talking to Carl about this the other day. And I said, "Carl, what in the world could have happened in the 1930s for God to call that depression on this country and that dust bowl that took over this country? What in the world could have happened?" He said, "I don't know. We were a lot better then than we are now." And I said, "Well, how about the Roaring Twenties? Could that have had anything to do with it?" God is going to punish sin. He's not going to change his way. Psalms 34, verse 8. "Oh, taste and see." I'm telling you, Christianity is like the greatest steak dinner that you've ever sat down to. Taste it and see. "Oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." It is an experimental religion. It's the living knowledge that you have passed from death to life and that you've been forgiven for Christ's sake. You can taste this and see that God is good. It is wonderful to be saved. Psalms 41:1, a special psalm to this church. We've known and practiced this psalms for years. "Blessed is he that considereth the poor." God is merciful, and he expects a man of God to be merciful too. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy," Jesus said. Shakespeare